In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday, the 4th of May. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Look, I know it's hard not to be distracted by the political news of the day, coming as it does in never-ending waves. But be strong, would you, and hang in with us because, you know, it's only the global economy on the line, right? 5 days, 5 minutes of live radio in which to wrap it all up. Anna Swanson is with the New York Times. Sudeep Reddy is with Politico. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Kai.
Hey, Kai.
Sudeep, let me first, I just want to hit you with the jobs report. 160-something thousand new jobs. The unemployment rate, the big headline there, down to 3.9%. What's not to love, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty good numbers, at least on the surface. We still have the continued puzzle, though, of strong job growth and low unemployment, but disappointing wage growth.
Right.
We've come a long way from 9 years ago when the recession was ending and unemployment was around 10%. Who would have thought we'd end up with low unemployment, good job growth, and Donald Trump as president threatening trade wars? But that's the funny world we live in. So here we are.
Thanks for the segue, man, because Anna, the next question goes to you. And I'm going to read you something now. It came out of the White House today. And the quote is a statement on the United States trade delegation's visit to Beijing. Here you go. The delegation held frank discussions with Chinese officials on rebalancing the United States-China bilateral economic relationship. Frank discussions is code for things went terribly, right?
Well, it looked like just the very beginning of a long and potentially very rocky road. Now, at least, we do know what the U.S. side wants, and it's a lot. It doesn't look like a quick win. It looks like they want substantive changes. They ask for big things like cutting tariffs, China stopping subsidies to advance manufacturing, and a $200 billion reduction in the trade deficit, which is more than half of what it already is. So China analysts, I think, will think this is good, but it does mean there's a tough fight ahead because China has said they would not do some of these things. The thing I worry about is that for a lot of stock market analysts, their base case is a negotiated outcome,
right,
not tariffs going into effect. And that's looking harder, I think, for the administration to avoid.
So I'll get back to the deficit thing, the trade gap thing in a minute. But Sudeep, I want to ask you about something Peter Navarro said. And this is a quote. The discussions were held in Beijing. Decisions will be made in Washington, D.C. That does not sound very negotiation friendly.
Yeah, it's funny. The group of negotiators that went over, they have some disagreements among themselves. And I hope they had a chance to hug it out on the plane back. But it's not clear where the U.S. position is. It's not really clear where President Trump is. He is not the first president to be called the opposite of Teddy Roosevelt. You know, the idea that you speak loudly and carry a small stick, that you're not quite using that policy. And Trump has to figure out, like, what happens if you... if the American people keep seeing the bark without the bite. And so they're starting to learn to ignore this. Foreign leaders are starting to learn to ignore the bark. And so he's kind of in a bit of a pickle now because he needs the Chinese on all sorts of other things like North Korea. But he also has to deliver some promises to his voter base and others thinking about November 2018.
Anna, we should say here there are legitimate causes for concern about some Chinese economic practices, right? Forced technology transfers and intellectual property theft, and those are real. And the president has said and has been supported by many who say, listen, we really need to do this. But let me ask you about the thing that he always harps on, and that is the trade deficit and how he wants to get it down. Other than maybe the Chinese buying more things here, doesn't that sort of depend on American consumers not buying as much from China?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's what the Chinese will be arguing, that the trade deficit is very linked to American saving or lack thereof.
Lack thereof, right, yeah.
And what are they going to do about it? I mean, they have offered to make purchases in order to reduce the trade deficit somewhat. The thing is, the U.S., some things they want to buy, the U.S. doesn't particularly want to sell them, including tied technology goods.
Right.
The Trump administration sees that as a national security risk right now. So how they would reduce it, $200 billion, I'm really not sure.
Yeah. Sudeep, quick last one to you, and that is, given the political chaos and the news coming in waves as it does, talk to me about downside economic risk. I mean, I think the markets and American companies have gotten what they expected out of the first Trump term, right? Taxes and regulatory relief, and now there's nothing else to get hung up on.
That's what they wanted. Now they're trying to prevent what they don't want, which is a big trade war and a lot of things to upset them in the late stages of an economic expansion. They're starting to feel like maybe they do have the beginnings of a predictable government for the world's largest economy. Right. And that's what their end goal is. But you never know what kind of shock could come in and end it all and make the good times suddenly look bad. And that's what they're worried about now.
Sudeep Reddy at Politico and Anna Swanson. She covers global trade for The New York Times. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks.